أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء وانحسرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته ورضعت عظمته العقول والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البتحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء ولولاه لساخت الأرض بأهلها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم أما بعد فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم اللهم إني أحبهما فأحبهما وأحب من يحبهما وقال أيضا من أراد أن ينظر إلى أحب أهل الأرض والسماء فلينظر إلى الحسين وقال الإمام الحسين عليه الصلاة والسلام من لحق بي استشهد ومن تخلف عني فلن يبلغ الفلاح أبدا صلوات Congratulations to all the prophets of God, especially our beloved Prophet, the seal of all the messengers, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. And congratulations to all the deputies of all the prophets. Specifically, the seal of all Imam Baqiyatullah al-A'zam al-Mahdi ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu and congratulations to all our great scholars. May Allah protect all of them, specifically Samahatul Waliyul and congratulations to all the mu'mineen and mu'minat in the entire world, especially to all of you respectable brothers and sisters on this great occasion as we are celebrating the birth anniversary of our third Imam, Imam Hussein ibn Ali alayhi salatu wasalam. Every Imam is born from one Noor and part of one Noor, which was Al-Khalqul Awwal, the first creation ever, As-Sadr al-Awwal, the first product of God, and a Nur al-Awwal, that means the first light. But every Imam of ours has certain specific attributes not found in the other. And tonight I would like to mention just a few of list of specific attributes that Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam has. and his personality. But before I get to that point, in the 57 years of his age, being born on the 3rd of Shaban, 4th Hijrah, 6 years he spent with the Holy Prophet, his great-grandfather, 30 years under the walayat and imamat of his great father Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, 10 years under the imamat of his brother Imam Hassan alayhi salam, and the last 10 years were the duration of his own walayat and imamat. Some of the most disturbing times of the Muslim history. Those 10 years were some of the most, and the first specific attribute of Imam Hussein alayhi salam is muhabbat and love. Every Imam is beloved of Allah and is the beloved of the mu'mineen, but the Holy Prophet has specifically mentioned in several of his ahadith about the love of Imam Hussein alayhi salam as a separate thing. Inna lil Husayni mahabbatan maknuna fi qulub al mu'mineen. Certainly Hussein has a hidden love in the heart of the believers. In the hearts of the believers. This muhabbat of Imam Hussein has been given special importance in Islam. Imam Hussein alayhi salam, the hadith cited from the Holy Prophet in the beginning of my speech, where the Prophet has said, "Man ahabba an yanzura," whosoever loves to look at the among the dwellers of the heaven, and the most beloved person among the dwellers of the earth, should look at Hussein. So Imam Hussein alayhi salam is the most beloved person among the entire universe. There is no person who is more beloved than him. Although every Imam is beloved, but this is something special to Imam Hussein alayhi salam. We all know the famous story of Futrus. Futrus was not an ordinary angel. He was one of the Hamalatul Arsh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has some angels which are muqarrab, which are close to him, whereas some others are not close to him. Although all of them are perfectly obedient towards Allah, they don't even think of disobeying. But there are some angels which are what, or in Farsi, Hamilane Arshe Ilahi, those who are carrying the throne of Allah, which is the center of his azamat and greatness. So only the great angels carry the of the greatness, which is the throne and arsh. Futrus was one of those great, and because he delayed in obeying a command of Allah once, Allah gave him two options. You want the punishment to arrive in this world, or you would like to accept the punishment arriving in the hereafter. And he said, "No, I will opt for the punishment in this world." So his wings got burnt and he was hanging with his eyebrows. Now there are various narrations doing worships of Allah for hundreds of years in such and such island. Regardless of all those details, but then finally when the time of the birth of Imam Hussein alayhi salam arrived, Sheikh Saduq has narrated, the earth did not have the capacity to handle all the angels of Allah who wished to come to congratulate the Holy Prophet. Because of the a shortage of capacity on earth, 1,000 angels came along with Jibreel. 1,000 only came along with Jibreel. in order to congratulate the Holy Prophet on this happy arrival. And when Futros saw this army of angels arriving towards the earth, and he saw them, and he asked Jibreel to take him to the Holy Prophet, then he was told about the arrival of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And Futros, when he went there to the Holy Prophet, now some of the scholars have mentioned that he rubbed to the cradle of Imam Hussein, whereas some others have mentioned that he touched the, that means touched Imam Hussein alayhi salam himself instead of his cradle. Whatever be the case, but as soon as this rubbing or this touching happened, he regained his wings that were taken away as a punishment. And Sheikh Saduq says that he flew up high by saying that Man Misli, who is similar to me, that means who can be considered as a parable, similar, comparable to me, Ana Atiqul Hussein. I am the one who has been set free by Hussein. I am the one who has been set free by the Hussein, who is the son of Ali and Fatima and Muhammad alayhi salam. So now we see a little glimpse of the love that Imam Hussein alayhi salam enjoys in the eyes of Allah. Now the love that he has in the eyes of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, we see that when Muhaddis Qummi has narrated that there was a sinner who, whenever he used to do a sin, he used to come to the Holy Prophet and seek apology from the Holy Prophet for his sin, till the time arrived that once he did a sin that was really big, and he was feeling embarrassed this time to show up in front of the Holy Prophet and tell him about what he did and seek apology for that. So finally he made up his mind and he went to see the Holy Prophet, and Prophet turned him away. As he was walking away, on his way, Muhaddis Qummi says that he encountered Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein, who were two young boys at that time. What he did is that he gave two children, he made Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein sit on both of his shoulders, and then he turned back towards the Holy Prophet to seek apology once again. And now the Holy Prophet smiled and he said to him that you are free, and addressed Imam Hussein alayhi salam by saying that I accept your shafa'at. So now you find the love that Imam Hussein alayhi salam and Imam Hassan alayhi salam enjoys in the eyes of Rasulullah. So if Prophet is about to raise his head from the sajda, and Imam Hussein is a young boy who comes over the back of the Holy Prophet, and Prophet was just as usual about to raise his head, Allah sends Jibreel, not to raise your head until Hussein gets off your back himself. And the Prophet had to say, Subhana Rabbiyal A'la wa bihamdi, Subhana Rabbiyal A'la wa bihamdi, 70 times, till it became the sunnah of Rasulullah that we can all say this kalima 70 times till the Day of Judgment. It became a permanent sunnat of Rasulullah. This is the extent of muhabbat and greatness and azamat of Imam Hussein. Imam Hussein alayhi salam is also the beloved of Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha. First of all, he was, in his apparent appearance, he was more similar to Amir al-Mumin alayhi salam in his appearance as compared to the Holy Prophet. Imam Hassan alayhi salam was, on the other hand, he was more similar in his appearance to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But Imam Hussein was more similar in his appearance to Amir al-Mumin alayhi salam. So Hazrat Zahra, has Sheikh Mufid has mentioned in his book, where Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha had said that anta shabihun lasta shabihan bin nabi anta shabihun bi ali. And in her lullaby, Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha used to say to Imam Hussein, Husaynan wa Husayna wa Husayna, ghariban wa ghariba wa ghariba. That's what Hazrat Zahra used to say, Sheikh Mufid says, in her lullabies. Karbala la zilti karban wa bala, Husaynan wa Husayna wa Husayna. That's how she used to say to Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And we find that Imam Hussein alayhi salam has another specific attribute, which is the fact that 9 of the Ma'soom Imams are from his lineage. This hadith has been narrated by Salman Farsi, that دَخَلْتُ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ وَإِذَا الْحُسَيْنِ عَلَى فَخِذِهِ وَهُوَ يُقَبِّلْ عَيْنَهِ. I came to see the Holy Prophet and I found Hussein was sitting on his thigh and Prophet was kissing his eyes, right? And وَيَقُولْ إِنَّكَ سَيِّدٌ إِبْنُ سَيِّدٌ أَبُو سَادَ. You are a leader, the son of a leader and the father of the leaders. إِنَّكَ إِمَامٌ إِبْنُ إِمَامٍ أَبُو أَئِمَّةٍ. You are the Imam, son of an Imam and the father of the Imams. إِنَّكَ حُجَّةٌ إِبْنُ حُجَّةٍ أَبُو حُجَجٍ. You are the Hujjat of Allah, the son of Hujjat and the father of the Hujjats of Allah. تِسْعَةٌ مِنْ سُلْبِكَ تَاسِعُهُمْ قَائِمُهُمْ. The 9 are from your lineage and the 9th one is the one who will rise up. And some of the scholars have mentioned the reason behind this is that ihtimalan, possibly because Imam Hussein alayhi salam sucked the thumb of the Holy Prophet after his birth. He sucked the thumb of the Holy Prophet for 40 days. And his flesh and bones got stronger because sucking of the thumb of the Holy Prophet. And that was the reason, ihtimalan, that all the rest of the 9 Imams were from his lineage. So this is another specific attribute of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And the next thing is what we learn about the ziyarat of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Every Imam's ziyarat has sawab. The ziyarat of the Holy Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt has a great sawab, which is not fathomable for us. But specifically Imam Hussein alayhi salam's ziyarat is considered to be special. We have a hadith narrated in which is considered to be one of our mother books of du'as from Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, that كان الحسين ابن علي ذات يوم في حجر النبي يلعبه ويضحكه فقالت عائشة يا رسول الله ما أشد إعجابك بهذا الصبي. Once the Imam Hussein alayhi salam was in the lap of the Prophet and Prophet was playing with his son and making him laugh, and Aisha saw him. Aisha said, O the Messenger of Allah, how much do you love this child? And Prophet replied that, وَيْلَكِ وَكَيْفَ لَا أُحِبُّهُ وَلَا أَعْجَبُ بِهِ وَهُوَ ثَمَرَةُ فُؤَادِي وَقُرَّةُ عَيْنِي أَمَا إِنَّ أُمَّتِي سَتَقْتُلُهُ فَمَنْ زَارَهُ بَعْدَ وَفَاتِهِ كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَهُ حِجَّةً مِّنْ حُجَجِي. That my ummah is going to kill him after, you know, he's going to kill him soon, and why shall I not love him? He's the matter of peace and satisfaction for me. Whosoever goes for his ziyarat after his wafat, Allah will write down the sawab, Allah will write down one hajj from my hajj. So anybody who goes for the ziyarat of Imam Hussain, he has one the sawab of one hajj of Rasulullah. Then Aisha replied, قالت يا رسول الله حجة من حججك. One hajj, that means she was trying to say that it's too much. It's too much of a sawab for somebody who pays a visit to Imam Hussain. And Prophet said, نعم وحجتين من حججي. Prophet said, two hajj. Prophet increased the number. Then she again expressed her surprise by saying, Ya Rasulullah, حجتين من حججك. نعم وأربعة. And Prophet made it double. He said, four hajj. Now she again expressed, so on, she kept on expressing her surprise over the amount of sawab, and Prophet kept on increasing the number of hajj till Sadiq alayhi salam says, فَلَمْ تَزَلْ تَزِيدْ وَيُضَعْ حَتَّى بَلَغَ تِسْعِينَ حَجَّةً مِنْ حَجَّةِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ بِأَعْمَارِهَا. Till Prophet mentioned 90 hajj from his own hajj. So we understand that every Imam's ziyarat is great, but the ziyarat of Imam Hussain alayhi salam has the reward of 90 hajj, not the hajj done by us, 90 hajj done by Ali wasallam. And in another hadith we find that alayhi salam said that Wallahi law inni haddastukum bi fadli ziyaratihi wa ra'san wa ma hajja minkum ahad. I swear to Allah, if I mention to you the sawab and superiority of Imam Hussain alayhi salam and his grave, then you guys would have left doing the hajj and none of you would hajj. And then he said, وَيْحَمْتَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ اِتَّخَذَ كَرْبَلَاءَ حَرَمًا آمِنًا مُبَارَكًا قَبْلَ أَنْ يَتَّخَذَ مَكَّةَ حَرَمًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took Karbala as his haram before he took Makkah as his haram. So this is a little bit about the ziyarat of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, which there's a lot to be said about the ziyarat and its concept, and which our Urafa say that basically one of the benefits of the ziyarat of Imam Hussain alayhi salam and other Imams is that it's a means of increase of our ma'rifat. Those of the people who have a lack of ma'rifat and in-depth inside understanding of Islam should emphasize over the ziyarat of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, because it is a means of increase of your ma'rifat. Another specific attribute of Imam Hussain alayhi salam is dua. Anybody who has a dua, we all have hajat towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ash-shifa fi turbatihi wa istijabatu dua tahta qubbatihi. You can go under the dome of Imam Hussain alayhi salam and seek whatever dua you have from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is accepted. Any dua that you want to ask from Allah, because that place and that personality is so beloved in the eyes of Allah, and the places also matter in Islam for the sake of dua's. Place and time has a very significant role to play. You can seek the same dua at any other place and Allah would listen. But Karbala and the Haram, and specifically that under the dome of Imam Hussain, importance which has been of the hadith. Likewise, ash-shifa'u fi turbatihi. If you go to Mashhad, you cannot eat the turbat of Imam Ridha alayhi salam's haram. That's haram in the shariat of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. If you go to Medina, you cannot eat the turbat of the haram of Ahlul Bayt there. It's haram. If you go to Najaf, you cannot eat the turbat of Imam Ali alayhi salam's shrine. It's haram. But if you go to Karbala and you are ill, it is, you can eat the turbat of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. Because ash-shifa'u fi turbatihi. His turbat has been given the cure by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's the cure for everything. This is another specific attribute of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And one of the most significant aspects, although we cannot signify any aspect of the personality of any ma'soom, because all of their aspects are equally significant. But one of the significant aspects of his personality was his qiyam, his uprising of Karbala, which unfortunately is the least understood aspect of his personality. Isn't that ironic? We have been talking about Karbala so much since our childhood, since our early childhood, and hearing about this great incident, great sacrifice of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, but unfortunately it's the least understood. So many of the people are taking a back seat towards the entire concept of the qiyam against zulm, and they think because they are doing taqiyya. The whole concept of taqiyya has been understood upside down by some. Taqiyya in Islam means, if you go through and read the book of Shaheed Mutahhari rahmatullahi alayh and other research scholars, how they have explained the concept of taqiyya. Taqiyya means hifzuddin, hifze maktab, protecting your religion. Whereas taqiyya has been misunderstood by a lot of people, as protecting their own life at the cost of wasting the religion. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam has said, At-taqiyyatu dini wa dino abai. Taqiyya is my religion and the religion of my forefathers. Every ma'soom imam did taqiyya, and that's why they became shaheed. Because they were not protecting their own lives, they were protecting Islam. Whereas we are doing taqiyya and we are protecting our lives at the cost of Islam getting sacrificed. Now you can see how many people understand the concept of Karbala and the whole concept of qiyam against zulm. So taqiyya is no different than so many other concepts of Islam which are misunderstood because the source of knowledge is incorrect. We have been learning Islam from unauthentic sources, unauthentic orators, unauthentic people who never studied in the Hawza of Qum or Najaf, and there is no guarantee, there is no certification for their study, there is no merit. But we turn to them to learn about Islam, and that's the reason we find that the information that we learn has no hujjiyat and authenticity in the eyes of Islam, and that's why the concepts are upside down. Since Imam Hussein alayhi salam started to handle the position of walayat after the shahadat of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and he was then on the mansab of imamat and walayat, we find for those 10 years of his imamat, nothing has been narrated from Imam Hussein alayhi salam. You don't find any single hadith in the entire books of hadith narrated from Imam Hussein. Look at the behavior of the community, how they had isolated the imam of their time. There is no hadith. Who's going to narrate the hadith? The people like me and you. If we go to the imam and talk to him and learn from him, and we come back and we narrate the hadith and write it down for our later generations. That means no hadith was mentioned from Imam Hussein alayhi salam, except the time when he announced his qiyam, that he is departing the city of Medina, his hometown, towards Makkah. That's where in the history, that means 27th of Rajab approximately, where he started. There's a little bit of controversy over his date of departure as well among the historians. Approximately 23rd of Rajab, where he departed his hometown Medina, and that's where you find all the narrations from Imam Hussein alayhi salam are from those 6-7 months of period of time of his last 7 months of his age. Among the rest of the 9.5 years, there is no narration. So this Qiyam and uprising of Imam Hussein is, since if you start seeing before his uprising, 20 years before his uprising, there is no Qiyam. There is no uprising in entire Islamic Ummah. But after the uprising of Karbala, you find there are approximately 20 uprisings taking place after the uprising of Karbala in the next 20 years. In the previous 20 years, there is no uprising. In the next 20 years, there are approximately 20 uprisings in the Islamic Ummah. And all the uprisings that are going to take place till the Day of Judgment are actually because of the barakat of the sacrifice of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. That's what Imam Khomeini Ridwanullah alayhi used to say, that Maharche Darimas, Maharramu Safaras. All that we have is because of Muharram and Safar. Muharram, he's referring to Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and Safar, he's referring to Hazrat Zainab salamullah alayha. And unfortunately, lack of this behavior, this practice, doing worships without the walayat, without walayat of Ahlul Bayt, which is the root essence of Islam, doing and psalm and other ibadat without walayat has been a long-standing practice of a lot of people over the passage of centuries. Unfortunately, and this has been given the hardest time to the Ahlul Bayt. And because of this behavior, you know, when somebody came and asked Imam Sharafuddin Al-Musawi, one of our very great Maraji who has written The Right Path, Al-Muraji'at, largest number of those Sunnis who converted into Shias in the history were due to the book Al-Muraji'at, which is translated into English in the name of The Right Path by Imam Sharafuddin Al-Musawi. So when somebody asked him, why we too believe in Imam Hussein alayhi salam, why do you guys hold these mourning ceremonies, mourning gatherings for Imam Hussein alayhi salam every year? And he replied, because what happened in Saqifa, the way the people forgot the incident of Ghadir, we, the Shias, cannot tolerate for the Islamic Ummah to forget the Qiyam and uprising of Karbala, the incident of Ghadir. That's the reason we do it every year. So actually, قُتِلَ الْحُسَيْنِ يَوْمَ السَّقِيفَةِ. Hussein ibn Ali was actually not killed on the day of Ashura. In the real sense, he was killed on the day of Saqifa. Because people were doing prayers and fastings and all that without the walayat, and they turned their backs to the walayat of the Imam of their time. And because of the people turning their back to the walayat, Imam Hussein got killed on the day of Saqifa. And it was not just Imam Hussein, it was Rasulullah got killed on the day of Saqifa. 500 of the hadith of Rasulullah were burnt during the first government, and then they found even the Holy Quran is not safe for us, because if people start turning to the real meanings and ta'wil of Quran, we cannot justify the legitimacy of our government, the walayat. So they said, Nuhina anit ta'ammuq fil Quran. Prophet stopped us from even thinking and pondering in detail and in depth about the Holy Quran. So they even put a ban over thinking in depth meanings of Quran. So we find that the path to ibadat accepted is nothing but the walayat. And of those who have the ma'rifat of the religion. And this ma'rifat is the condition for all the previous things that I have mentioned. Muhabbat and dua and ziyarat. We have read some of those things, but Everything is conditional, nothing is unconditional. The ziyarat of Imam Hussain certainly has that great sawab, but it's not unconditional. The love of Imam Hussain is such a great asset of human life, the biggest asset of human life. But it's not something which is without marifat. Actually, our scholars say that love is the product of marifat of Ahlul Bayt. And the ma'rifat itself is a product of ilm and amal. So if you learn your knowledge about your duty towards Allah, and then you practice your knowledge, then you combine your ilm and amal together, this will generate the noor of ma'rifat, and the noor of ma'rifat will in turn generate the love. So nothing is unconditional. Nothing is unconditional. We have to have the ma'rifat, otherwise you find some of the worst enemies of Ahlul Bayt who went apparently for the ziyarat of Saddam. He had his pictures hanging every here and there in Iraq in his days during the ziyarat of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. Shah Lanatullah alayhi used to go for the ziyarat of Imam Rizah every year and wash the zari of Imam Rizah with his own hands with the water of rose water. The Shah used to go for the ziyarat of Imam Rizah. Is he also forgiven? Nothing is unconditional. Let's be realistic. Let's learn the whole thing. Like, we cannot just take out one thing out of context and ignore the whole context and siyaq and sabaq and all the conditions mentioned by Ahlul Bayt. Arifan bihaqqihi. Arifan bihaqqihi. In every hadith you find this condition has been mentioned every now and then. If the person should have ma'rifat of the haqq, which means the haqq of the walayat of that imam. What is your behavior towards his walayat? Otherwise, Mamun Rashid was also a Shia, poisoning Imam Rizal alayhi salam. He used to hold a gathering in his own darbar and prove in front of the Sunni scholars who were sitting there. Mamun Rashid used to prove that Imam Ali alayhi salam had the right for and his khilafat was usurped. But then he himself, when it comes to his own greed for power, he poisons Imam Rizal alayhi salam. Yeah, we have to thank Allah Subhanahu wa Taala for providing us with this opportunity of the Islamic Revolution in our days. Otherwise, if it was not for Imam Khomeini Ridwanullahi Alayhi to inform us about our political duties towards the walayat of Imam Mahdi Alayhi Salam, we would have been sitting the way some people were sitting before the Islamic Revolution, just watching as silent spectators. And the enemies of Imam Mahdi Alayhi Salam, the Yazidis of today, are playing day in and day out. And we are celebrating to be the Lord and doing nothing. What kind of love is this? If I'm sitting in Kufa and watching Imam Hussain being slaughtered, and then I come and say, Ya Hussain Ibn Ali, I love you. What kind of love is this? This kind of false claim of love without doing any service towards the walayat of the Imam of the time is actually not love, it is enmity. One of the zalimeen, who was there in Kufa, and he was blind. Somebody asked him, "What are your eyes? I saw you used to have the eyesight." He said, "Yes, after the event of Karbala, I was actually not in Karbala, I was in Kufa, but I saw the Prophet in my dream. After the event of Karbala, Prophet had a bowl full of blood. And he asked me, why didn't you help my son Hussein?" And I said, "Ya Rasulullah, I was not even there in Karbala, I was in Kufa." Prophet replied, "But you got the news that my son is coming to Karbala. Why didn't you help him?" In other words, he had furnished some other excuse. Prophet put his hand in the bowl of blood, rubbed over his eyes, and when he woke up, he became blind. We cannot fool the Holy Prophet, na'udhu billah min dhalik, God forbid, we can fool ourselves. So we have been silent over the mazalim of the enemies And continue to consider the social obligations and the political obligation towards the walayat of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam as not even wajib on us, and still consider ourselves to be very religious. Imam Hussain alayhi salam, before I come to the end of my speech, I would like to mention a couple of incidents from his personality. Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam always deal with the people according to their ma'rifat. And Allah, because Allah always deals with us according to our ma'rifat. So you get what you deserve. That's the law of the thumb. Whatever you didn't get, because you did not deserve it. Unless you make yourself deserving first, and then you will get it. So every gift is given according to your ma'rifat. So we find in Maqtal of Khwarizmi, it has been narrated, and in Jami' al-Akhbar, a person came to Imam Hussain alayhi salam and said, "Ya Ibn Rasulullah, I need to pay some money, I'm indebted, I have a loan. So if you can please help me." Imam alayhi salam said that, "I'm going to ask you 3 questions from you. If you can answer those 3 questions, I will give you the amount that you want. If you answer just 1 of those 3, I'll give you 1/3 of the amount you want. If you answer 2 of those questions, I'll give you 2/3 of the amount you want. So all the 3 questions, I'm going to give you the whole amount." He said, "Ya Rasulullah, well, a person, ignorant person like me and a person like you, there's no comparison. How can I respond to your questions?" Imam Hussain alayhi salam replied, "I heard my grandfather Rasulullah saying that al-ma'ruf biqadr al-ma'rifah. That means the goodness, the good deed, the good behavior, the good reward is given in accordance with the level of ma'rifat of that person. So whatever is the level of your ma'rifat, my good behavior has to be according to that." So then Imam Hussain alayhi salam started to ask question that, "What is the most superior of all the a'mal, all the actions?" And he said, "Al-Imanu Billah," having iman and faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Imam Hussain alayhi salam said, "What is the thing that saves the people from devastation?" And he said, "Tawakkul," and reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Imam Hussain alayhi salam asked that, "What is the zenith for a person?" He said, "The zenith and adornment and beauty for a person is that if he has knowledge, ilm, along with hilm and patience." Imam said, "If he doesn't have those two, then what? What else?" Then the guy replied that at least he should have maal, money, with muruwat and jawan mardi. Imam said, "If he doesn't have that," he said, "then at least he should have faqr and poverty along with sabr and patience." And Imam said, "If he doesn't have that," he said, "then a flash of lightning should come so that the lightning should grab this guy because he doesn't deserve to live any longer." Imam Hussain Islam smiled and he gave him the 1,000 dinars that he wanted. So we find that our imams used to deal with the people according to their levels of ma'rifat. Also, it is important, brothers and sisters, to remember that the message of Karbala is not related to one time, and the hadith of Imam Hussain alayhi salam cannot be restricted to one time only. When he says, "Man lahiqa bi istashhada," whosoever joins me will become shaheed. Whosoever joins me will become shaheed. وَمَن تَخَلَّفَ عَنِّي, and whoever turns his back away from me, فَلَنْ يَبْلُغَ الْفَلَاحَ أَبَدًا, he will never succeed. This statement of Imam Hussain alayhi salam is even valid today. And if we want to succeed today, we need to join the footsteps of Imam Hussain alayhi salam and his followers. That means there is no room for a person to say, if something is happening somewhere else, in any corner of Islamic world, There's no room for a person to say, it has nothing to do with me. Because the Holy Prophet already said, لَوْ أَنَّ رَجُلًا قُتِلَ بِالْمَشْرِقِ, if a person gets killed in the east, وَآخَرُ رَضِيَ بِهِ فِي الْمَغْرِبِ, and the other one who is in the west is pleased with this happening, كَانَ كَمَنْ قَتَلَهُ, he is just like the person who killed him, وَشَّرِكَ فِي دَمِهِ, and his partner in his blood. This is Islam. This is the Islam of Ahlul Bayt. So we have to care about what's going on. If Imam Hussain alayhi salam never cared about what's going on, then nobody would have bothered to kill Imam Hussain alayhi salam. According to my teacher, if Imam Ayatullah Jawadi Amuli Hafizahullah, if Imam Al-Kazim alayhi salam never cared about what Harun al-Rashid is doing, he's just busy in his ibadat, didn't have nothing to do with politics. Why would Harun al-Rashid bothered to kill Imam Kazim alayhi salam and jail him for 40 years? If somebody has nothing to do with your government, why would you bother? Imam Kazim alayhi salam was running an Islamic all-inclusive political awareness movement for his walayat. That's the reason he was targeted. So he says in his hadith, إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَضِبَ عَلَى الشِّيَعَ, Allah became angry over the Shia. Imam Kazim alayhi salam says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَضِبَ عَلَى الشِّيَعَ, Allah became angry over the Shia. فَخَيَّرَنِي نَفْسِي أَوْهُمْ, Allah gave me two options, either I save my life or I save the Shias. فَوَقَيْتُهُمْ وَاللَّهِ بِنَفْسِي, I swear to Allah, I protected the Shia people by sacrificing my own life. This is how our Imams were. So if we want to follow the footsteps of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, which we all love to follow his footsteps, then we must be ready for the ma'rifat of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. And the ma'rifat of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam requires sacrifice. So we cannot say, oh Mawla, why did you appear right now? Next month is the graduation ceremony of my son. Well, I have to, you know, after 2 months I have to wait for my retirement fund. It's not mature yet. We have to have 2 months that are remaining for that. So it's really too soon for me. We cannot say that. Are we ready for all kinds of sacrifices? So when we are ready for the sacrifice for Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, then you find it doesn't really matter whether Imam appears in our lifetime or he doesn't appear. Because you have the ma'rifat of the Imam, which entitles you to be included alongside with the Imam. And kana kaman ma'al qa'im fi fustatihi, man arifa, whosoever has the ma'rifat of the Imam, he is just like the person who is in the tent of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam along with him. I pray to Allah, because it's the time of Maghrib 9:20, I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless all of us with the ma'rifat of Imam Hussain alayhi salatu wasalam, and the ma'rifat of Imam Mahdi alayhi salatu wasalam, by disassociating ourselves and doing the bara'at from the Yazids of today and the enemies of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam today, so that we can achieve his rida and pleasure. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين واخذل الكفار والمنافقين اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل المسلمين اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين وسيما الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعل من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين. Thank you.